Welcome back. We are up to Perek Tes, Mishnah Gimel, Chapter 9, Mishnah 3 of Maseches Nazir. So the last Mishnah that we learned ended with the concept of Yesh Raglayim Ladavar, that the matter has legs to stand on. So the next two Mishnayos have nothing to do with Naziras, but they teach Halachos that is all based on the idea of Raglayim Ladavar. So the Mishnah talks about finding a body that was buried in the ground where no one knew there was a grave there. And here's the general rule. If a body is meant to be there, then it can't be relocated. But if it is not meant to stay there, then it can be relocated. So in other words, you originally buried in a place only temporarily with the intention of reburying it so it could be moved. But a body that was in the ground But when a body is found in the ground, when there is no cemetery, so and we don't know whether it was buried with the intention of moving it later or not, so we have to go ahead and make some determinations based on the area. So take a look at the Mishnah. Hamotze meis patchile. Someone finds a dead body, and it's the first body found in this area. Mushkav kedarko. Okay, so now here's the first thing you look for. If it was laid out in the normal way that Jews were buried, Jews are buried in it, in a very distinct way. Note lo ve'es tvusaso. He can take it together with the earth under it, meaning because there's a general rule, the earth underneath the body likely absorbs some of the fluids from the body. So you take the body, the earth underneath the body, and you bury it somewhere else. Because when a single body is found and it's not near other bodies, we assume that the area was not a cemetery and the body maybe was here with the intention that it would be moved later on. Matzah shnayim, he finds two bodies in the same area, so the halacha is the same. Notlan ve'es tvusasan, he takes them together with the earth underneath them and buries them somewhere else because we don't assume that the area was a cemetery. But now, here's the halacha that changes everything, because when three bodies are found, it's a little bit different. In the times of the Mishnah, people were buried in like these recesses. Think of like a shelf that was dug into the wall of a cave. And so burial caves typically measured here 4 by 6 amos, and bodies were buried in the walls on three sides of the cave. So the fourth side of the cave opened into a courtyard, which measured 6 by 6 amos. And on the opposite side of the courtyard, there would be another cave where there were more bodies buried in an area that, again, was 4 by 6 amos. So here's what the Mishnah now says. Matzah shlosha. If you find three dead bodies, and yesh bein zelaze me'arba amos ve'ad shmone, if between the first body and the third body, there's a separation of between 4 and 8 amos, Harezu shchunas kvaros. So this is considered like a cemetery neighborhood or a cemetery area, since this is how you would expect bodies to be arranged in a burial cave. And so therefore, he can't move them because you have to assume that they were buried there on purpose. And since we assume that he found a burial cave, we also have to be suspect that there's another burial cave right nearby, because two burial caves usually open up into a common courtyard. So he has to check to see if there are more bodies. Bode kemenu lahalan esrim ama. He has to search for 20 amos past the place where he found the bodies, because the distance from the back wall of one cave to the back wall of the opposite cave would have been about 20 amos. So matza echad besof eser mahama, if he finds even one body at the end of those 20 amos, so we assume that it is located in another burial cave, therefore he cannot move that body either. Bode kemenu lahalan eser mahama, and he has to search for 20 amos past that body. Shiraglayam ladavar, because the matter has legs to stand on, meaning there is a reason to think that there may be more burial caves in the area. She'ilu mitchila mitzau not lo ve'es tvusaso. This is true, even though if at first he had found only this one body with no others close by, he would have been allowed to take it together with the other earth that was connected with it and bury it somewhere else, because we would have assumed that the body was meant to be buried there. But now that he found three other bodies that were to be buried in what appears to be in some sort of a cemetery, essentially, we can assume that there is a more distant body that needs to be buried and he has to be moved. He also has to check to see if there are more bodies in caves in the area. That is Mishnah Gimel. Now on to Mishnah Dalet. So this Mishnah, also not really related to Naziris, and has three different halachos that we learn from it. So kol sfeik negayim batchila tahor. All cases of doubt about a tzara'as affliction, when they come up in the beginning, meaning when the first person first comes to the Kohen, or during the 1 or 2 weeks where he is in a confined state. So these cases are considered to be tahor. Ad shelo nizkak latuma, as long as he has not yet been declared tamei by the Kohen. Mishin nizkak latuma, but once he was declared tamei by the Kohen, sveiko tamei. Any doubt about the tzaras is going to be considered to be tamei, because once someone is tamei, we assume he's tamei, and we do this for certain until we know. And we do this until we know for sure that he has become tahor. Okay, let's keep going. B'shiva drachem bodkin es azav. So there are 7 ways in which we can check a zav to see if his second discharge that he's going to make was a result, or that he made rather, was a result of some factor besides the disease. So ad shelo nizkak laziva, before he becomes tamei as a zav. So right. So there are 7 ways that we check him before he becomes tamei as a zav, meaning before we decide that he's a full zav. Here are the things that we check. B'machal, we look into his food to see if he like would have eaten something that could have caused him to have a weird discharge, like a meat or a milk or a cheese, whatever. Uvimeshte, and we look into his drink, because drinking some sort of a bad wine or whatever, too much wine, can cause him to have a weird discharge. Bemasa, we look into whether he had carried a heavy load, which also could make him weak and have a discharge. Uvikfitsa, and we look into whether he was jumping, which could do the same, have a weird discharge. Uvicholi, we look into maybe he was sick. Uvimara, we look into whether the sight of some woman that he saw caused a discharge. Uvihurhur, and we look into whether he was thinking about a woman. If any of these things happened before the second discharge that he made, so he doesn't become a zav, because we assume that the discharge was caused by one of these 7 things, and not by the condition that makes a person a zav. Misha nizkak laziva, but once he already had 2 discharges and has definitely become tamei as a zav, in both kenoso, we don't check for these things when he has the third discharge, because the third discharge obligates him to bring the zav korbanos, even if it resulted from these other factors. Also, therefore, his accidental discharge, meaning discharge that comes from any of the 7 things listed above, usfeiko v'shechvat zaro, and his third discharge, where there is a question whether it resulted from his emission of semen, tamein, are considered tamei, shiraglayan ledever, because the matter has legs to it, right? So again, if he has this sort of an accidental discharge that he makes, which comes from any of these 7 things above, and he has this third discharge where there is this question, if it came from this emission, there, that's going to be considered tamei, because there are reglayim ledavar. Now, the last part of the Mishnah talks about hamake eschavero va'amaduhu lamisa. Someone hits another person, and they evaluated the victim and concluded that he was hurt so badly that his injuries were going to make him die. And then he got better than he had been, and they decided that he would live after all. But then it was really just a temporary thing, because he took a turn for the worse and died. Chayav, the one who hit him, is liable to the death penalty, because we assume this person died as a result of the attack. But Rabbi Nechemia says, Putter, he's exempt, because there's legs to the matter, meaning the assumption that he died of other factors is what you would assume. And so, because this person recovered to the point that it was thought that he would live, so it's reasonable to assume that when he dies later, it's a result of some other factors and not the injuries that this guy caused. That brings us to the end of Mishnah Dalid. God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Hey, the final Mishnah of Maseches Nazir. But for now, we wish everyone a beautiful day.